This is WBAI 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. The previous program was Sojourner Truth with Margaret Prescott, heard Monday through Thursday at 3 p.m. Stay tuned for The Positive Mind coming up at 4 p.m., followed by Max and Murphy at 5 p.m. 6 p.m. is the WBAI Evening News with Paul DiRienzo, and at 6:30 p.m. is Trump Watch with Jesse Lent. All these programs are supported by listeners like yourselves. So if you are inclining and feel inspired to donate to this radio station, by all means, go to givetowbai.org online. givetowbai.org online, and you can find out more information by going to that website. It's now 4 p.m. Stay tuned for The Positive Mind coming up. WBAI New York.
Friends, welcome back to The Positive Mind. You're hearing that music at 4 p.m. and we like it. We like it. Reggie, thanks for queuing us up there by saying The Positive Mind at 4 p.m. Every Wednesday here from 4 to 5 on WBAI 99.5 in New York City and elsewhere in WBAI.org. We are happy to be back. Ben Starr is with me. I'm Kev O'Donohue.
Hello, hello.
Hey, Ben. And Nasima Diane Deemer is with me.
Hey, everybody.
And what do we want to say? Well, we're grateful for the time slot. We're glad to be back. A lot of good feedback from last week's show. If you didn't hear it, you should go to the archives, WBAI.org, and you can listen to that show. More importantly, we did post the 24 strengths on the website, PositiveMindCenter.com. But we have a great show today. We're going to be talking about cell phones today and maybe social media or both.
Oh, yeah.
But definitely cell phones because they're everywhere and everybody is irritated by them. Everybody likes them. Everybody uses them. But everybody has some level of irritation with cell phones, whether it's their own or their children's use or their partner's use. Do you go out to dinner and people are pulling out their cell phones?
How about when people show up to a meal and they first thing they do is they put the phone right on the table?
Right.
Yeah.
How often do you see
do
that?
Do you object? I mean, do you open up and say, I can't sit here if that cell phone's going to be on the table?
Right. Do you have like the hard, fast rule, no cell phones at table?
Right. And do you have hard, fast rules in other places in your life? Like no cell phone in the bedroom?
How about cell phone in the bathroom?
No cell phone in the bathroom.
Yeah.
So we're going to be getting your feedback. We want your input here. Where and when does the cell phone use of your partner, your family member, your friends, your colleagues irritate you? And what should we do? Should there be like an etiquette book on when to use a cell phone? Cell phones are not going away, so we have to adjust to them. And it's a good thing. I mean, they have a tremendous potential. I mean, it's great for a democracy to have cell phones in general. So we're not bad-mouthing cell phones. What we do want to know is, what's your limit? You know, is your limit 20 texts from the same person within 20 minutes? I mean, do you, you know, what if, I mean, I keep hearing clients and people talking about, my boyfriend texted me 43 times last night.
Wow.
Before I answered even once.
Right.
And I wouldn't answer. And I'm like, of course you wouldn't answer.
There's so much that, anxiety.
That is
it.
Like a person, you know, ready to unload on you.
Yeah.
And when you think about it, what cell phones have done, and now more specifically, smartphones.
Right.
Because the smartphone, we're about 10 years in to everybody having smartphones, give or take.
Okay.
First iPhone was 2007.
Yeah.
So here we are, it's 2019. It's become kind of pervasive everywhere. Everyone mm-hmm. seems to have a smartphone of some sort. Not everybody, but majority of people, it seems,
right.
at least in the New York area.
Yep.
And it's completely changed communication, which we kind of evolved over many, many hundreds or thousands of years in yeah. terms of how we communicate. And in the space of a decade,
yeah.
all communication, you know, it's kind of flipped the script.
No pun intended. It is a script because people are writing in these things all the time, but it has flipped. And where are we going to be in 5 years, Ben?
That's a good question.
I mean, is every phone going to be a Facebook phone, a FaceTime phone? Like your image is going to come up? And I mean, I think that's a great feature of cell phones, but we want to talk about cell phones from a mental health perspective today.
Yeah.
And we'll taking your calls at 212-757-5555. Go ahead.
There are many people predicting that the cell phones of the future will be biologically implanted in our bodies.
Sure.
There will be no physical mm-hmm. cell phone anymore. Well, we will be the cell phone. Well,
we're going to be post-humans, Nasima.
Post-humans.
We're going to merge with
Borg,
machines.
Right?
Well, yeah. The holidays have come and gone, but I have these earbuds now that, you know, there's no wire to them. And you just tap the right side.
You're late to the party, Kev.
I'm very late. And, you know, 5 years from now, I'll still be maybe just finally understanding how to use these things. But it's fascinating, though. I mean, you can tap and say, let me hear a certain artist. You know, let me hear the Allman Brothers, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you don't have to go screen and search and do anything.
Yeah.
And you can do everything.
It's going to be your best friend.
How are teachers doing with cell phones? I mean, I know a teacher that when she's having trouble with a student in school, she'll pull out her cell phone and call the child's parents.
Wow.
Right there in the classroom.
Wow.
I mean, now whoever thought of that kind of use, but that's immediate kind of corrective behavior.
And it's unprecedented. I mean, mm-hmm. the ways in which we're able to connect to other people, it's truly unprecedented with the rise of this kind of technology.
Mm.
And I think there's much to be said and much to be explored as to the pros, which are tremendous, and the cons, which are also pretty profound at the same time.
Right. Yeah.
And so,
right.
you know, I'm not necessarily pro or anti smartphone.
Right.
But I do think that there are some serious, serious questions that get raised by the amount of time we spend looking at the screen.
Yeah,
just from that alone, and what mm-hmm. it's actually done to our interpersonal relationships and human communication,
yeah.
which has been completely and radically changed mm-hmm. over the last 10 years by this technology. Mm-hmm.
There's no question that college students are seeking mental health services so much more now because of what? Well, because of cell phone use, because of not just social media and cell phone use and isolation in general. So there's mm-hmm. definitely no question that it has a con effect.
Right.
And we're going to take your calls on the con side. We want to talk first about the pro side, right? Because 212-757-5555, I want to get out that this is a great thing. This is a great invention. The pros of cell phones and even social media. There's a pro, major pros to that. But it is creating an isolation effect that is leading to greater anxiety, depression, and stress. Those are the three major complaints at your typical college university's counseling center. So
right.
go ahead.
So, I mean, you kind of went through a pro and a con right there. I mean, they're so closely linked. There's, you know, it's like there's the pro of you could connect with people on this. And you could, you know, it's like I could have a conversation. My dad, I can see my dad in the assisted living mm-hmm. facility, and I can wave at him and make funny faces, and he can see me. And it's like it's a wonderful way to connect
right.
with him.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and then yes, it can be totally isolating if you're not using that as a stepping stone to engage.
Mm-hmm.
And
so Ben, go ahead. So tell us, Ben, what is your experience? I mean, because you're a big believer that this stuff is causing damage.
I do. I mean, I'm not about to campaign against smartphones.
No, of course not. We got that part.
You know, I own one. I'm looking at it right now. I use it. You know, to run this show.
Yeah.
I use the smartphone.
We need it.
So you know, it's a tool, and like any tool, it can be used constructively or destructively.
Yeah.
I think on some level, it's really simplified or even dumbed down communication to the point where people don't want to have face-to-face conversations, and people avoid even a phone call as much as possible. I think what the smartphone has done by including the capability to text and email and instant message and all these other messaging apps out there and all the ways you can message people through social media, Facebook, Instagram, what have you, people are kind of reluctant, I think, to pick up the phone and actually call someone and have a verbal communication with that person.
Well, and people, don't want to actually pick up somebody calling them on the phone either.
Right.
It's like a big, a big imposition on some level if you're actually calling someone. You need to text them first and see if they're available for a call or when they would be. And that's totally crazy because we used to just pick up the phone and call people.
And you think back to like the trope, the sort of idea of the lover waiting by the phone all night, waiting for their beloved to call.
They haven't had a movie scene like that in 30 years.
Yeah, well, it's not relatable anymore.
I mean, think about the days when you wrote letters to your loved ones, and those letters would take days to arrive.
Right.
That meant that you had to hold that feeling for that long and wait for the response, which would be another 5 to 10 days to come back. So it's like imagine your quality of
and
being able to be with a feeling.
Yeah, right. And so that's like 10 days of a kind of connection to somebody.
Yeah,
by sending snail mail.
Yeah.
As opposed to a quick text where they're gone. 5 minutes later, they're in a whole nother environment and they're a different person then. So you're right. This is lost. We've lost snail mail. I mean, letters in general have gone by the wayside. And that sense of connection, that kind of 2 or 3, 4 day connection with a piece of mail in the mail is gone.
Right.
So there's a lot of losses going on with cell phone use, and not communicating. And we want to get to the bottom of that today. And we want to hear what your idea would be. How would you correct it? Like, let's design something, a cell phone etiquette. When is it totally intolerable to you to see somebody in your presence with a cell phone? I mean, if you're on a date with somebody, I mean, is that even like a deal breaker? I mean, if somebody smokes, if I'm dating somebody, right, who smokes, I hate to say it, but it would be a one-time date. There's just no way I would date somebody who's a smoker. But if somebody pulls out a cell phone
on the first date,
what do you think of that?
I mean,
ghosting in person,
yeah, it's
right?
Rude. Because it's sending an unspoken message. It's saying this: whatever's going on in here is far more engaging and interesting and important to me than whatever we can have in this interaction, face-to-face, one-on-one.
But I also wonder if we've lost the ability to be with people for a certain period of time without needing to jump out of it.
I think
like so. Like, it's too much to be engaged, maybe you're doubting your own interest, you know, and very often I think people will go to their phones to find something interesting to talk about. It's like, oh, I saw this story and blah, 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 and here I'm.
Sure.
And now we're using the phone as a way to
engage.
Well,
if you work in Manhattan, you get on the elevator in Manhattan, and it used to be a scene of tremendous awkwardness. If you're going up 45 flights with somebody, a stranger in an elevator, it could be very awkward, but now that's all gone.
Kind of have to make that decision. Am I going to try to do the small talk thing, or
right.
am I just going to look down?
Right.
And right.
Am I just going to pull out my phone and just look at whatever's going on in there instead of even trying to engage? So that's a regular everyday experience here in New York City.
And that, I think, is like the real impact on human interaction, on social interaction and communication that we're seeing from this technology. And to your earlier point, Nasima, about the idea of snail mail is now kind of lost forever, right?
Yeah.
Like love letters, poetry. I mean, forget about it, right? It's 2019. Nobody's writing love letters, right? Maybe emails, but even then, it's instant. And I think there's a whole kind of theme of instant gratification that pervades our whole society now and our whole reality,
right,
where everybody is looking for instant fulfillment and satisfaction. And waiting for anything ever is just unacceptable.
Yeah, we're unable to be uncomfortable with awaiting, to be patient, to also, just be able to feel like, okay, well, I'm having this mood right now. This mood will probably change in a minute. You know, do I have to communicate this mood, this feeling right now? Or am I going to, like, sit with it for a second? Like, nobody can seem to do that anymore. It's like, I'm feeling anxious about you know, you haven't texted me. You know, I need that instant gratification of you being like, yes, I'm here. Yes, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, can you, I mean, just think of it. 100 years ago, you'd write a letter saying, I love you, dear. And you'd wait a month to get the reply, I love you back or I don't love you. You know, it's like, wait, could you imagine? Right, I mean, yeah. Could you imagine waiting a month to hear an answer to something
soldiers,
you've shared? Oh, my God.
Right,
you know,
there are soldiers emailing there, talking to their wives on the battlefield, right?
Yeah.
And spouses on the battlefield.
Yeah.
I mean, there are no more Dear John letters. There are just like Dear John texts.
Yeah.
Or Dear Judy texts. 212-757-5555. What's your experience with cell phones? Where's your frustration with it? What's your corrective? What's your idea of the perfect world with cell phones?
Yeah, how are you balancing
it? Are you limiting your cell phone use? Do you think people in your milieu have a problem with their cell phone?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, do you see somebody who's texting somebody 40 different times? And what do you think when you see that? I mean, there's clearly an altered state of consciousness, a mood disorder. Something is going on when a person is texting another person 40, 50 times. This is not an attempt at communication. This is something else.
That's right. If you're just joining us, you're tuned into The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM WBAI. We're here every Wednesday, 4 to 5 p.m. Today, we wanted to discuss with you the notion of cell phones and social media, how they've impacted relationships, how they've changed our lives, how they've changed our world all around us.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to hear from you. 212-757-5555 is the number to call. 212-757-5555. You know, Kevin, there's a very real dopamine response that happens with phones, especially with the notifications.
I'm sure.
Right? Especially with the, when you think about the most common noises. So for the Apple, it's like the ding.
Right.
Or the,
it's kind of, it kind of sounds like someone tapping a cocktail glass, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the Samsung one is kind of a chime. Those are the common default default notification sounds.
Sure.
And if you're ever in public
or Twitter, there's Twitter sounds too, right?
Right, but I mean just the basic the phone sounds, the notifications. Mm-hmm. If you're ever in public and you hear one of those, you'll see a ton of people just kind of reach into their pockets.
Right.
You know?
And excitedly, right? Like, oh, that's a blast. That's mine. Oh, somebody's trying to reach me.
Right.
Oh,
I'm important.
Right. There it is.
How many people just reached into their pockets, right?
Right.
Hear it again.
I know that sound. There you go.
That phone. If you hear that sound out in public and you look around, you'll see a dozen people look at their phones, reach into their pockets.
Right.
And it's like Pavlovian. We've become trained to respond to it. So there's actual dopamine that gets released in our brains.
And this is what's causing, like in the college campuses and elsewhere, other places, even for adults, I mean, that fully grown, that they're getting these ceaseless blasts of that sound and other things, and they're responding to it. It's like
the dopamine.
It's like a Pavlovian response, and the dopamine gets released, and the dopamine imbalance causes depression.
Mm-hmm.
It is causing depression. It is causing anxiety.
And
so,
addiction.
You know, it's repairable. You
yes,
know, you would,
it is.
As a therapist, you would say, well, let's be disciplined about your use of this device because it's obviously driving you haywired. And what are some things you can do to control this thing? I mean, if it were alcohol, you would say, let's reduce harm, reduce. We want to reduce the harm that this machine, this thing is causing you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's strategize. Let's come solution. Let's make some solutions. So, so that's what they're doing. You know, students in college, you know, if they've been to a therapist, will keep their cell phone in their dorms.
Imagine
totally.
That.
Imagine that as a way to manage this dopamine blast. I mean, it is a good feeling when you get a text. I mean, right? I mean, sometimes it's not.
It is. It's generally a good feeling, and there's also generally a bad feeling. Like the times that I've left my phone at home, and I've forgotten it, I feel really strange.
Feel naked.
I feel very vulnerable, very naked. Exactly. It's like this is an appendage that I have. That's my umbilical cord to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And I don't have it. and I'm lost.
That is a good, there's a good measure and a good question to ask a client who's coming for therapy for this kind of thing. What does it feel like when you've left your phone at home or you've lost your phone?
I mean, or like right now in this session, what would it be like for us to put the phone outside the room? Yeah. Like,
no, but I mean, have you ever lost your phone and like
totally
feel like your heart skipped a beat?
Yep.
You know, 212-757-5555. Let's take a call. We have Chris on the line. Chris, welcome to the Positive Mind at 4 o'clock, Chris.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
So do you know what the concept we're talking about, the etiquette of cell phone use?
Absolutely. I deal with it every day. I was calling in to just give a quick, like, point of view on it. So what I think is, like, with cell phones, we use it consistently as, like, an electronic security blanket. So anytime anybody feels uncomfortable or they're uninterested in the situation, they'll look down at their phone and just use it as a security blanket because no one wants to be uncomfortable. It's easier just to just tune out.
Right.
Absolutely.
That's great.
In psychology, we call it a transitional object. Like when a child is carrying around that blanket, you know, they're transitioning from infancy to exploration stage. And that blanket is like a security item. I'm moving from one thing to the next. And so we grown-ups, we need security. So the cell phone is like a security blanket. What do you think? Does it irritate you, Chris?
It does irritate me a little bit just because, you know, sometimes when you're trying to connect with people, oftentimes they're just using it as a blanket or something.
Right. Do you ever say go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, do you ever say to them, hey, you can be comfortable around me. You don't need to jump on your cell phone.
Yeah, that's actually a great way to do it. But can I say one more thing just actually on the,
sure,
on the topic?
Go ahead. We have lots of calls.
So
go ahead.
We talk about a lot with the negativity of cell phones, but it does allow us to connect in a lot of other ways. Like, for example, what I like music a lot. It allows people to connect, you know, with music and share music, and you get a lot of personal artists and things like that you would never find back in the day when you used to have to purchase music without streaming.
No question about it. Absolutely. Chris, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Chris makes a great point, and I definitely agree on the music front, but it is true. People don't want to be uncomfortable, and people don't want to be bored. It's like almost a dirty word now to be bored.
And those two places are the most rich places of connection and creativity and, you know, humanity that there can be, you know? And I think we've kind of...
He's going to do that. He's going to do that all show. All right.
Did I get a gold star with that? Oh, I was right.
212-757-5555. Taking your calls on cell phones and social media. How are they impacting your life and your relationships? You know, Chris is right. There's a tremendous amount of positivity and connection that comes from it, right? We're able to keep in touch with family and friends who are very far away, out of state, out of the country, even much easier nowadays, right? I have family overseas, and in the past, used to have to dial very expensive long-distance phone calls. Everybody would kind of try to rush the conversation, and now through a lot of these messaging apps, we can talk for free.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a beauty
and
in that.
And FaceTime.
Yeah. So there's a real beauty in that.
No doubt about it. But to get back to Chris and music, you know, with sharing your love of music with other people, you can send totally lists of music that you like to other people through this thing. And of course, the earbuds, which I'm discovering, is like a revolution in music. You just tap it and say what music you want to hear. So we're not saying anything bad about cell phones. We're just saying that it is a dopamine release. Mm-hmm. And it is a security blanket, like Chris says. It is a way for people to not connect, to not do that awkwardness, not confront that awkwardness. You mentioned boredom.
Yeah, boredom and, you know, ways that we don't let ourselves just sit in that pregnant pause.
Yeah.
You know, and like what's really happening here, allowing conversation to drop a little deeper, to get a little more real.
Yeah.
You know, the minute it sort of, we've kind of got through the chit chat, okay, are we going to be able to sit and sort of get a little real with actually feeling something between two people, especially like on a first date or something like that? It's like, oh, like really, who is this human being across from me? And can I, I think we've sort of forgotten how to ask questions of other people to find out who they are on some level. And I think we've really forgotten how to listen then to those answers. Pause. I was hoping you would do that.
We're taking your calls at 212-757-5555. We have Tanya on the line. Hi, Tanya. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. How are you? How's everyone doing today?
Great.
Good.
Well, I'm just calling to give you a little bit of what I saw on the train the other day, which was kind of a great observation of how phone etiquette is now. I saw a young couple who were only interacting with each other when there was a reference to what was happening on the screen on their phones.
Oh,
so it was almost like the phone was the priority and the interaction was only in reference to what was happening on the phone. And so they, when they were getting off the train, that was the only time they actually even looked at each other. And I know that, you know, on the train you sometimes get busy with your phone, but it just seemed like such a normal interaction. And really what I wanted to mention is we never really established phone etiquette, right? So phones kind of...
Cell phone etiquette.
Right. It just exploded, and everyone kind of just had this sense of freedom that they thought they had, that they didn't have before.
Right.
But we never put anything there to... And I mean this as a society, right?
So yeah, that's why we're asking the BAI audience, let's create this. Let's come up with some phone etiquette. But you're talking about something else, I might just say, that you're seeing a couple that can't really relate to each other than by talking about what's on their cell phone, what's on their screen. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So I hear, like, does that disappoint you? Is that a fear? Like, what would you say? What would you say to that couple?
Well, actually, I mean, I can also jump on some other, just my personal interaction with someone that I'm seeing that actually has this, I only really text, I don't really talk on the phone, and he's very face-to-face.
Right.
But some people will only be able to be vulnerable in a text mode, and I find that really frustrating because I'm more of a... talking of person, and he's articulate when he's face-to-face, but when it comes to... any kind of phone interaction, it is.
I understand.
I find that frustrating because he's like, well, what's the big deal? You can catch me when you catch me on the phone, but I'm not really a phone person.
Okay.
And it's like, well...
I am a phone person. Do you want to say, I am a phone person. I do want engagement, interaction on the cell phone. I feel like it'd be more intimate. It'd be something that we could share. So, right?
True. And my observation to that, just in what I saw, is that, again, they didn't have a sense of etiquette, so they created their own. And I think that that's kind of what I saw on the train, right, this is what's okay because this is what we've established as a young society, right? They seem to be, like, young 20s, that was kind of the way it's okay.
I gotcha.
So... If you don't create it, like you said, and I thought the same thing for 2019, I wanted to spew phone etiquette when I see it happening. If it's like in an interaction with someone I know and saying like, look, if you're going to have dinner with me, phone is not going to be coming out.
That's what we were looking for. Right on. Tanya, thanks for the call. We have lots of people interested in this. It's a terrific call. So thanks for calling. Keep calling us.
Of course.
212-757-5555.
She makes a great point. You know, one day that we didn't really have smartphones, and almost overnight they were everywhere. So, Tanya's right. There was no real.
And everybody's making up their own etiquette, is what she's saying, right? And as an observer of other people's phone etiquette, it's like, I couldn't be in that relationship. I wouldn't want to do it that way. She's like, has a firm foot in the sand that you're not pulling out that cell phone when we're out to dinner.
Right.
That's the etiquette that she's come up with.
Yeah. One that I've heard that people do, I've never done it myself, but I've heard that people, if they're out with friends or family, they'll put the phones in a stack on the table. Cool. And then the first person to go and get their phone has to pay for dinner. Which I think is pretty cool.
I think some people are starting to come up with different rules, you know, and within different family systems and cultural systems, I think they're doing that too.
Yeah, sure.
The thing that she was talking about with face-to-face or over the phone, I mean, having this sort of vocal contact is the most important one. And she's saying that people can be very vulnerable in their texting.
Yeah.
And yes, there is a bit of a barrier there that could make you feel a little bit more brave to say things that you may not say to someone's face. But that's a two-edged sword. It's like you really need to really feel vulnerable and have somebody hear it and have somebody respond to it in a way that's going to be much more satisfying than doing it through a text and hearing
but
it through, you know, it's like
a
and
good
the
opening
a
move,
text.
Though. I think that we didn't realize this, but texting can be a place for men to be vulnerable. I mean, I think that's a great thing. It means the next time when we get together face to face, we could at least approach. Let's go over these texts. Let's look at you were vulnerable there. What were you feeling? I think it's a door opener.
Yeah.
I think that's a good thing. Some men need the text as a way to sort of suggest the vulnerability and need to be teased out of it. So I think that's a big plus.
And I think if there's some ground rules around it, you know, I think some couples fight over text and that's not a good thing. I think the expression of some emotions, it's inappropriate over text.
I totally agree.
You know, and like you need to have a rule around that.
Like a lot of people have no fighting before you go to bed, but I would agree, no fighting over text. We have another caller. Mary's on the line. Hello, Mary.
Hi.
How are you?
How are you
doing? Good. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And you?
Terrific.
I love this topic today.
Tell me about it.
This is my first time calling, and I've had a cell phone since 96.
Wow, you were one of the early ones.
Well, you know, back then it was the flip phone.
Yeah, right.
And the Palm Pilot.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, okay.
Yep, I had one of those too.
Yeah, and in my community, nobody knew what that Palm Pilot part was. But anyway, okay. I have three children.
Okay.
And I never allowed them to have cell phones. So that was another topic altogether with the parents around me that gave their children.
What a brave soul. Brave woman.
Yeah, cell phones at an early age. My kids had cell phones when they were grown, like almost out of the house.
That's what people are saying. People are saying, like, they won't let their kids have cell phones until their 15th or 16th birthday.
Right. Something. It's ridiculous. These young children walk around with these phones, and, like, adults, they're not paying attention. They're in the street walking with the phone, with their head to the phone, walking. Small children crossing the street and rarely paying attention.
Yep. Sure.
The other thing, too, is my experience really took off when they went to college. That's when they got the cell phone,
okay.
When they went to college.
Right.
And I was clueless. By the time I had a smartphone,
they're out of your hands
by that
time. Yeah.
Right. And the smartphone thing, I'm still learning how to use that thing. But the adults, this is the most important thing to me. Mm-hmm. I have literally stopped talking to people because I tell them, listen, when a text comes in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just like right now, I'm sitting here with the phone, I'm talking to you. A text comes in, let's say I wasn't on the phone, and I call that person right back.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't answer.
I was busy texting somebody else, sorry.
That gets on my nerves.
Yes, right. Of course.
So over the years, I have literally cut people off. I like, so you're telling me you literally don't want to talk verbally.
Yeah, there you go.
So you
would actually cut out of the relationship. You would tell people, this is a game changer. If you do this kind of behavior, I'm out of here.
Yes.
Wow. Good for you.
Good
for you.
I've lost friends. And I really like some of these people.
Well, they'll be,
but
you can always text them late at night to make up. All right, Mary, thanks for the call.
No problem.
And good luck with a smartphone. There's a whole world waiting for you. 212-757-5555. You know, people are animated by this. We have a lot of backed up calls. We'll keep taking them. But, you know, I mean, When does it become too much? What particularly bothers you about the way people are using cell phones?
Well,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I just feel like they're sort of blocking their interaction, and I think they're contributing to a lot of their own sort of suffering by not, you know, picking up and talking to each other. Like, all I know about, you know, trauma and anxiety and people in their bodies, like, they're just forgetting that we need this face-to-face, voice-to-voice communication. It's so important for our nervous system, for our health, for our mental health in so many ways.
Yeah. Bring up something. We did want to announce that we are having Harville Hendrix in the studio with Helen LaKelly Hunt next Tuesday, who's going to talk about the remedy, really, for some of this stuff.
Yeah.
The idea of looking in your partner's eyes, looking in your child's eyes, face-to-face is the remedy. And that's all it is, even for college students with anxiety, depression, and stress. They need to face-to-face with somebody, make eye contact, and engage in what's called an imago dialogue.
Yeah.
Harville Hendrix will be here next week to talk about how to do this and how to achieve more intimacy in your primary relationship. We'll also be promoting the book, his new 30th anniversary book, of the book, Getting the Love You Want.
I mean, we know that communication, Kevin, is much more than just words. So when we're texting, we're boiling down so much of the ingredients of what makes communication. So it's not just the words, it's also the tone.
Totally right.
How I say it.
Yep.
Right?
Like if I say, hey, Kevin, how are you? Or I say, hey, Kevin, how are you?
Hey, thank you.
Totally different, right?
Sure. Yep.
Totally different. But if I text you that, you don't have any of that.
I don't know where you're coming from.
There's no nuance.
And on top of that, beyond the tone, the real component of communication is your body language. So if I say it with my body facing towards you, making eye contact, that's one thing.
Yep.
If I say it and I'm facing away from you and I kind of look at you out of the corner of my eye and say it over my shoulder, another thing entirely.
Sure.
Yeah.
So with texting, we've kind of distilled it to just the words, which is really a small portion of what communication is.
Right. And the words don't really have that much meaning anymore either. I'm thinking about those letter writers of way back when, you know, it's like they put so much meaning into their writing.
Of course.
In texting, it's like now we're getting down to just the emojis are maybe bringing some emotion back to it. But
the beautiful thing is Harville Hendrix discovered that people communicate instantaneously with eye contact.
Yep.
And if you want to improve your communication with somebody, soften your eyes as you look at the other person. Within a minute, you can undo a lot of this damage that cell phone use has done to people or social media has done to people. Within minutes of just being allowed to make eye contact with the person, and most often he start, you know, with a partner, your intimate partner. He's a couples therapist specialist, but anybody, your children,
everybody.
If your children are distracted, if they can't sit still, if they need their cell phone all the time, you know, if they're, you know, anybody who's addicted, you just say, sit opposite me. Let's make eye contact.
Yeah, and let's breathe.
Let's breathe. And let's just do, I'm going to say something and you say it back to me. I'm going to say something and you say it back to me. This will neutralize your nervous system, calm your nervous system down, and undo all the damage. So again, we're privileged to have Harville Hendrix come in here next Wednesday from 4 to 5 with Helen LaKelly Hunt. And
we have some exciting premiums to announce too with that. So
we have Frank. We'll talk more about it as we get to the end of the show. Thank you, Ben. Frank is on the line. Hi, Frank. Hello. Did we lose him?
It might be some. We might have gotten the lines crossed. We have a caller on the line. Can you hear us?
Hello? Good afternoon, how are you doing today? Yes, Colin speaking. Yes. Colin
hey,
Dixon.
Colin,
oh,
how are you
Colin,
doing?
Not Frank. How are you?
You're fine, thank you, Kevin. How are you doing?
I'm well, Colin. Tell us about your cell phone. Do you have any etiquette around cell phone? Let me guess, Colin, do you even have a cell phone?
Yes, I have a cell phone. Yes, Kevin.
Okay.
Do you have a smartphone?
No, it's an SE. It's iPhone SE.
Oh, okay. So you have access to all this stuff. So tell us about it. I mean, do you have things that irritate you when you see other people on their cell phones?
No, I understand. Texting is more, they're not paying attention to texting, but somebody call, they're on the texting, they have their head down and stuff like that, and they're walking in route straight into me.
Right.
That's the only thing, but communication is the key.
Yes.
The communication is the key for my and you too, Kevin. when you talk to me on the phone, is better. Colin, where are you? On location up over there in the establishment?
Yes, I am. You know
that's
where
that's example on the radio studio.
And where are you? Yes, I'm quality. Right here. I'm right here in our studio. And where are you right now?
I'm right on location in Rosedale, in the Green Acres Mall area.
Okay.
In Nassau County.
So you cover a lot of ground in one day.
Yeah, yes. From this morning, I'm up from 7 o'clock this morning.
Right. So you need your cell phone.
Yeah, 100%.
I know you do.
I love it so much.
So, Colin, you love the cell phone. I just, one thing that you would say to people about texting and using their cell phone.
Just be careful when you use a cell phone. You know, don't talk anything on top and on the phone. You don't talk anything. You talk precise, slowly. Nobody has to hear your conversation, stuff like that.
Perfect. Colin, look forward to your calls. Thanks again.
So you're welcome. And Kevin, get an email. I mail you on Sunday.
I didn't get it. Kevin at the Positive Mind. Don't forget the .com. Kevin at the Positive Mind.
I'll do it again now.
I'll look out for it, Colin. Be well.
Yeah, thanks so much. I'm hoping to see you later on in the future. Appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet, my friend. Bye-bye.
212-757-5555. That's the number
to
call.
I like that rule of etiquette. Talk softly on the phone. I hate it when people are yelling and, you know, having their conversation loudly over the phone. So that's a nice etiquette point. We're collecting them. Let's see. We've got 4 good ones.
Yeah.
What else?
Yeah. Let's have a little awkward moment here. Ben. Thank you, Ben.
That's as much as Ben can take.
So you know, the classic sign of addiction is what happens when you take it away. When you take alcohol away, when you take gambling away, when you take cigarettes away, when you take a prized something away, what's your reaction? Can you handle the reaction? Your irritability will no doubt go up. Mm-hmm. You will become restless and impatient and irritable. If you've got an addiction, if it has become bigger than you.
And I think you make a good point, and you only really started using that word about 10 minutes ago, Kevin, but it is an addiction.
It can be.
And, sure. Well, I think for many, many people, it's an addiction. I mean, when you look at like what we talked about the dopamine release and the almost Pavlovian response and people's behaviors and how people act when they don't have access to it or if they don't have service or Wi-Fi connection, it's much like an addiction.
Well,
I mean, there's research that showed that the smartphones have the effect on the brain that cocaine abuse has.
Yeah, any of those things. And the thing is that it also crosses that line where it's kind of like food. Like when people have a food addiction, it's hard. You can't give up food. With cell phones, I mean, the way our society is constructed around cell phones, you can't really give up your cell phone. You have to develop ways to balance and start using it in a healthy way rather than a destructive way. And that makes it more, a little trickier as far as, you know, it's like to totally, you know, go off the grid is really difficult in this day and age, you know, in this society.
Yeah.
And the truth is that cell phones are really spreading all over the planet to all cultures. So it's going to be a thing,
you know,
for us to really learn how to create those boundaries that say, you know, when I'm eating dinner, I'm no cell phone. When I go to bed, I'm going to put my cell phone in the other room. When I'm, you know, it's like, what are some ways that we can start to put some good boundaries here? And like vacation. Going on vacation for a whole week, leaving your phone at home. Imagine
what
that.
Would occur. Like that. What would occur?
Imagine.
You know, how would the experience be different? A lot of people come back from vacations not feeling like they were on vacation.
Right.
A lot of times because they've had their cell phone or their internet access the whole time and they felt the drag from people needing them and having to respond to people. What would it be like if you said no? I'm on vacation. I'm not just from work. I'm on vacation from my cell phone, you know, from social media, from everything. What would happen? I mean,
well, I got a personal anecdote. This happened in my family a couple Thanksgivings ago. We had sort of an extended Thanksgiving. So everyone in the family from all over the country, we all got together in one place for like 3 or 4 days instead of just Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
And there was a rule which was, you know, we had breakfast, lunch, and dinner together for 3-4 days. And the rule was no cell phones at the table. And we all agreed on the rule at the beginning. And everyone kind of enforced the rule on everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kids were keeping the grown-ups in line. Grown-ups were keeping the kids in line.
Right.
And it was great. You know, and after dessert, you know, people would take their phones out, and that was kind of when it all started. But throughout the meal, there were no phones at the table, and it was one of the better family gatherings we've had.
Yeah,
yeah.
I've done a tech-free, you know, retreat, like no tech on the retreat, not at all. So I had a pen and paper, and my experience of the retreat. That was it.
212-757-5555. But we're talking about awkwardness, right? I mean, really, when you go from using cell phones and then finally having to be at dinner with somebody, a family, all of a sudden, I don't know who my parents are. You know, I don't know what to say. I think it's really, you know, I hate to say it, but going through the addiction part of cell phone use or even some other kinds of addiction, you can come out with a transformation and a whole nother approach to things and something to relationships. For some time, you know, in some cases, it takes an addiction for a person to actually recognize the value of communication, of relationships for the first time in their life. You know, they're actually saying, wait a second, I'm addicted and it's uncomfortable, and I never realized how awkward I felt with other people, and I need to do something about that. I don't want to go through my life feeling that way. So addiction can be a real transformative experience for people, we have to recognize you're going to feel awkward. You're going to feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. And all addictions are supported by isolation. So one way to maybe break that addiction is to force yourself out. I was in a restaurant bar last night. A lot of young people. I didn't see them on their phones. They were all chatting. There was a lot of, you know, noise in the air of everybody chatting. Right, I'm like, young people do know how to talk to each other. Mm. They do know how to flirt. They do know how, you know, it's like, it's so important. You know, it's like, just get out and start talking to people.
But a lot of the dating apps, Nasima, have actually taken the need for that social savvy, that social know-how, that ability to flirt, and that ability to have a sort of a courtship back and forth.
Yeah.
You don't need to know that anymore because of a lot of the dating apps. We're taking your calls, 212-757-5555. I believe we have Frank on the line this time. Is that you, Frank?
Yes, I think so. The call dropped a few times. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we hear you just fine.
As always, thank you all for all you do, including now this excellent topic.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
So how important is communication to you, Frank?
Come again?
How important is communication and communicating to you?
Interesting. I hope my philosophical, not so easy, because it depends on what kind of communication. There's so many levels. My experience comes from another end, so... in all due respect, if I could not answer the question, but maybe get my perspective out and then maybe follow up. I'm in a challenge zone right now, but the topic was so compelling.
Go ahead.
Because 2015 was a challenging, pivotal year for me. Death struck 3 times, including my mother.
Wow.
And I believe it's also when Armand passed.
Yes. Yeah.
And I found myself without connection and cell phone use in the shuffle, and it seemed like a bad thing or a difficult thing at first, but in not having 4 hours of texting every day and whatnot, I regained inner peace, and I discovered the positive mind and started a real healing process that has taken root, and now I'm trying to reintegrate with the technology and the communication, including trying to schedule phone calls, which I find very aggravating. And so I do think we're in the process of developing guidelines to deal with the technology that has come upon us and is moving so quickly, including privacy issues, which I seek to take an active role in.
Mm.
And so I'm coming at it from the other end of resisting the technology, but acknowledging that it can be useful if not necessary.
Right.
And so what are the guidelines?
It sounds like you're in a phase or a stage of your whole evolution with this thing and with your grief and coming towards a place where you're getting a sense of what do I want to do next? What should I do next? What will I do next? Is that fair to say?
Yes, and more. I know what I want to do. It's a question of how, with who, in terms of the technology and where people are at in their lives and their mm-hmm. connection with the technology. So I'm focusing on interfaces, face-to-face interactions first.
Wow, I understand.
And then connecting with people and using the technology to enhance it rather than being dependent on it.
I love it. So we're going to teach a technique next week on the air, Frank. Tune in. About eye-to-eye contact and mirroring. It's called mirroring, and I'll talk a little bit more about it within the next 5 minutes. But stay tuned to that, because I think you're going to be able to translate that to FaceTime when you're FaceTiming with people on the cell phone.
So very familiar.
Thanks.
I listen every week as I can, and I'm familiar with mirroring and so many other things, as I've mentioned. You did a show about the art of writing, I believe in. Can I write to you?
Sure. Writing, Kevin at thepositivemind.com.
Well, that's technology. I'm talking snail mail. Is it Mind Suite 1100?
You got it.
119 West 57th. When I get out of the challenge zone and things settle down enough, I'd like to follow up with you maybe in writing. But thanks again.
You're
to
welcome.
All of you for all you do.
Oh, thank you.
And this included, and I'll be listening next week. Really not in a good place to call, but it was so compelling, and thank you again.
Glad you called. Thank be well.
Thanks.
Care.
Bye.
212-757-5555.
So I heard an interesting rule from Frank that we do face-to-face first.
Yes. I mean, he is smart. He realizes that this has been a problem, and now I need to go back to basics and actually interface with people.
Yeah.
He's doing that instinctually without any instruction.
Wonderful.
Should we do a little bit about what this Harville Hendrix stuff is? So it's called mirroring. You say something to somebody and they say it back, but after they repeat it back to you, they say, can you say more about that?
Mm-hmm.
We'll go into this again.
We're going to have a whole hour to discuss it next week, Kevin.
All right.
We have 5 more minutes today. It'd be great to hear from one more caller. We have Young on the line. Hello, Young.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling in today.
Great. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's your observations? What's your frustrations? What's your feedback on this?
You know,
go ahead.
I would say my frustration is probably my own compulsions, and I'd always be pulling out the phone and always be looking at it, and so there was a period there, about 4 years, where I went off the smartphone, and I also got off of social media as well. And I got this phone from Amsterdam. It's called the John's phone. I'm not here to pitch it. They don't even make the phone anymore.
Okay.
But it's an international phone that you put your SIM card into, and all it would do is make a phone call. You couldn't text on it. You couldn't take pictures. You couldn't play games. And it had an old school pager readout on top, and it looked like an old TV remote.
Uh-huh.
And it had a physical phone book in the back and a little pen, and you could jot down people's numbers. And
wow.
I started remembering people's phone numbers.
Uh-huh.
I started
your memory came back.
Right. Yeah, right. And then I would use my planner more. I would use my actual physical camera more. I would whip out my laptop a little more often to do work instead of just doing it all with my thumb.
Got it.
And it was absolutely amazing. It was such a refresher, and I would irritate people like crazy, though, because you'd have to call and say, "Oh, I'm just leaving you a message. Hey, I'm going to be late.
You can't reach me.
You can't.
Oh, I can only reach you. You can't reach me. Oh, that's brilliant. Where are you at now with the cell phone?
Well, I had to go back. My partner became ill, and we were trying to relieve her stress. I talked her into getting one of those phones, but she sees a lot of clients, and she had this little physical piece of paper that was all coffee stained and wet. The numbers were fading, but there's a keeper. She stuck with it.
Mm-hmm.
But we said, "How do we reduce your stress?" And she said, "I got to get back on the smartphone for work."
So
we both went back on, but that 4 years was wonderful, I would say.
Wow.
So out of that experience, have you come up with some cell phone rules, some cell phone etiquette? How do you keep it in check?
It's difficult. I'm a very compulsive person, and I find myself on it a lot. And I don't know. I should probably look into that a little more seriously. I find that it is a bit more disruptive. But yeah, I'm back on social media. All my bad habits. I didn't learn a thing.
Did you taste food more when you were off your cell phone? Like, I would think that the physical world becomes more tangible when you're off your cell phone for 4 years. What about that? Any noticing about how you saw things? Was your vision more clear? Could you feel your body more?
You know, I found that when I wasn't watching television as much, I felt that I was able to see more. Like, I wasn't getting these brainwashed, I don't want to say brainwashed images, but there's just a standard image that you would see all the time of what you would judge everything with and compare to. And then when I wasn't watching TV and seeing all the advertisements, I started seeing a lot more beauty in people.
There you go.
Wonderful.
Beauty in people. Young, thanks for calling us.
Yeah, thanks for taking the call.
Okay. Terrific. So that's exactly where how we're going to close out today. I wanted to talk about the solution again. Harville Hendrix is part of the solution, and you'll learn that next week when he's here. But I did want to say, if you're compulsive, if you're addicted, if you're struggling with not feeling good with other people, come to this workshop this weekend, Friday night, 2 hours. It's free here at the Positive Mind Center to learn how to mirror, to learn how to validate somebody, to learn how to make eye contact with somebody. Carol Kramer is doing a workshop, and it's great for therapists. If you're a therapist who's looking to develop skills in how to bring people from conflict to connection, you're going to want to come to this 2 hour free. What time is it? It's going to be from
7:30
to 9:30 here at 119 West 57. You can call us at 212-757-4488 to get more information. But making eye contact with somebody in a safe environment is the solution, and it can undo a lot of this damage.
I want to thank everyone who called in today and thank everyone who tuned in today. We can't do it without you. We're here every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. Tune in next week. We're going to have Harville Hendrix back on the program. Yeah. And I think we have a lot more ground to cover in terms of social media, smartphones, and technology here.
We'll be back on this topic for sure.
The early part of the year. Thanks again to everyone for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. I can't.